So I know you've come to receive the word, and I want to share something that's been stirring in my heart for a little bit, and talking about overcoming. And of course, there's so many things that we could talk about in this area. And one thing I would say that's uppermost and has been in my heart, Jesus is coming soon. Some would like him to come right now. Well, you know, could be, right? In the twinkling of an eye, he'll return. But I believe we're seeing the signs of his return. We're seeing nations aligning themselves, as the scripture shares in Ezekiel, Persia and Syria and all of these different nations, and that will ultimately align themselves against Israel. And we're beginning to see nations come together that will align themselves for Israel. And we're beginning to see that right before our very eyes. So we know that his return is soon, very soon. And I think, just as Brother Copeland shared, I think that we should be talking about his return more. And we should be talking about our home, heaven. We should be talking about heaven more. And so, talking about his return is not really what I wanted to share today. But what's been in my heart, what keeps stirring in me, is the awareness of who we are. You know, recently the Holy Spirit gave this example to me, and I really wasn't thinking about it. But the way he gave it to me very quickly, he said, when a woman is pregnant, she becomes aware that there's a life in her now. And as that baby grows, she becomes more aware, right? But almost immediately, that woman becomes aware, something's different in me. Something has changed in me. And then, of course, it'll lead usually for a woman to go and have herself checked, and then, oh, I'm pregnant. And most knew it anyways. And the Holy Spirit said to me, why are my people not aware of my presence in them? Becoming more aware of him in us, becoming more aware of who we are in Christ. That I'm a new creature, I'm brand new. And what disturbs me, I guess is a word I could use, is that I see more and more individuals being drawn into the world as far as the discussions, the things, talking like the world, talking like they're not an overcomer, talking like they're defeated, talking like they're this flesh being. And it's not to say that there aren't things going on. You just wake up and look. If you're of another race, look, this country's got some shady pasts. And nobody can deny that. But let's talk like who we are. Let's not talk like I'm so defeated and the society's against me and all is woe in me and all of this. You're talking like the world. You're talking like a person who doesn't know who they are. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I'm telling you, the more you talk like a carnal Christian, the more you talk like you're defeated, then you will be. And again, that's not to say that there aren't all of the troubles in society, but we have Christ in us. Oh my goodness. We've got the very presence of God in us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I just share that to sometimes we need to remind ourselves who we are. The scripture in Matthew 24, Jesus began to unfold and he said, kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation against nation. That's ethnos. That's tribes against tribes. Newsflash, that white people against black people. So why are people getting out of joint over that? It's the devil operating in and through people. But you have Christ in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to focus on that a little bit and meditate upon it, because the more you do, and don't get mad at me because we're talking about something that maybe hits a hot button. Meditate in the Word of God to cool down the hot button. Because you know, maybe it's race for some people, and maybe it's anger for some. Could be your spouse. Could be somebody else. Could be your boss at work. Everybody's got a different hot button, but the way to deal with that is to immerse. You know, something Brother Copeland used. And I've been listening to some other messages, not just when he was here. But when you become totally immersed in something, there's no evidence of whatever it was that you were in. When you become totally immersed, you know, he was sharing something on a program recently. Brother Copeland was, and I liked the example. He referred to something that he experienced, and he said, in World War II, he said when they were looking for people who could speak German and Japanese, and they needed translators, he said they totally immersed them in that language. They could not speak English. They were totally immersed. And he said in a very short period of time, they could speak the language. And then another short period of time, they became translators. How did that happen? They were totally immersed. How are you going to unhook? How are you going to get your mind renewed from this junk that keeps pushing at us, being totally immersed in Him, in the Word? You can't be in a little bit and out a little bit. And I'm talking to me too, all of us. You can't embrace a little bit of the world, because then you're immersed. You're immersed in it. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. And I started a little bit ago, so I guess they can readjust. But let's start in 2 Corinthians 5:17. In the New Living Translation, I want to read these three or four verses. It says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So we've got a brand new life. The old life is gone. We have a brand new life. You are a brand new creature, a person that never existed before. You now have his very nature, his very life in you now. You're different. Just like that woman who said, "I'm different. There's something happened to me." Same should happen to us. We should say, "Something's different. I'm different. I've changed." First John in the King James, let me read it in the Passion Translation. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, "This is the true testimony that God has given us eternal life." He's not going to give it. He has given us eternal life, and this life has its source in his Son. Whoever has the Son has eternal life. Say, "I have eternal life." I have it. I'm not going to get it. I have eternal life. I have it. I have eternal life. "Whoever does not have the Son does not possess eternal life. I've written this letter to who you believe in the name of the Son of God so that you will be assured." See, I like this. Why did they write this letter? Why did he write this letter? It says, "I've written this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you will be" what? "Assured and know without a doubt." So we have a written letter to let us know and to assure us that we have eternal life in the name of his Son. And it says, "to know without a doubt that you have" what? "Eternal life." You have it. So that makes you different. That makes you an overcomer. That makes you someone special. Do not let people or society make you think otherwise. You are his child. You've been made a brand new person in Christ. You have his very nature. Now, look, you all know this. The devil gonna try to make you think or feel some other kind of way. He's gonna try to talk to you about what they can see. But we don't operate by what we see. We operate based on what we see. Here's something we all need to remember. Faith is based on something that we believe. And we believe based on something that we know. Well, if you don't know something, then how could you believe? So you may believe to the best of your knowledge. That's why Paul, when he prayed that prayer in Ephesians and Colossians, he said, I pray that they would have a spirit of what? Wisdom and knowledge in the understanding of God. Why? Because you can't believe for something that you don't have knowledge and understanding in. See, and that's why we need to keep feeding on the Word of God so that faith can come, revelation can come through the Word of God, and then what? Faith comes. Faith is based on a revelation in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Everybody awake today? I mean, this excites me. Because your breakthrough is a breakthrough based on faith, and faith's breakthrough comes from revelation. Revelation in God's Word. And revelation, as our former pastor used to say, isn't going to come by watching Gunsmoke or whatever it is you like to watch. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So God has placed us in union with His Son to do what? Manifest eternal life in us. Did you ever think about that? We're in union with His Son so that eternal life, this life, can be manifested through us. For what purpose? So that the world can see Him in us, see Him through us. Hallelujah. John, let's look at John chapter 5 and verse 24. John 5, 24. In the King James. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Oh, you're not trying to get something, you have it. He that what? He that heareth my word and believeth. See what happens? Hearing the word and believing. Hearing the word and believing. You got to hear the word and then you believe. So you can't believe something that you've not heard or don't have knowledge of. So you believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not what? Come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto what? Life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. We have eternal life. And that life has made a change in every single one of us. So the devil cannot defeat or overcome the person that has eternal life. He cannot defeat a person who has eternal life in them. The only thing he can get you to do is what Brother Copeland talked about. Speak words. He'll put thoughts in your mind. That's why the scripture says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that what? Exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. So he will put thoughts in your mind to get you to do what? Believe it and then speak something that puts something in motion. But he cannot defeat the person who, like Jesus, remember what he did when he tempted Jesus? Satan, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it may not feel comfortable, but we've got eternal life. We have the spirit of life in us. We have eternal life in us. And those that have him in them are the sons and daughters of God. They're the sons of God. And what? Led by the Spirit of God. Something that Mark Hankin shared, I like this. He said one time the Lord spoke this to him. You know, him traveling around to different areas of the world. He said, I was always interested in the various religions of the world. And he said, the Lord spoke this to him. He said, every religion has lessons, but only Christianity gives eternal life. Only Christianity gives eternal life. All religions give lessons. But only Christianity gives eternal life. Because why? Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So the Father has this kind of life, and he came in Christ that we would have this kind of life. So this life, this eternal life, is what? Substance. It's spiritual substance. You can't see it, but it's substance. It's real. And it does what? This life quickens our mortal body. When we lay hands on the sick, we impart this life. This kind of life develops our spirit. It increases or enlightens our intellect. The life of God in us will show us how to do something. It enlightens us. So this is why I'm saying, when you say, well, I don't know how to do that, stop saying that. Don't say, I don't know. You have the one inside you who does know. Just get quiet. He will show you how to navigate life in every situation, every circumstance. He will show you. Even when we miss it and we don't listen and make mistakes and we have to, you know, as they say, go down a wrong road. He's still there to help us out. But he's there to show us how not to go down those roads, how not to make bad choices or poor choices. He's there. Why? Because he's in us. His life is in us. I like what Leanne Soulsby said. She said, we should be saying, I see and I know. I see and I know. I see and I know. Why? Because I've got the one in me who sees and he knows. And he's showing me how to go through life. How to do what? Overcome. I didn't say it felt fun or nice. No, life isn't comfortable for the flesh. But we have God's life in us where we can overcome. We're not trying to overcome. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Here's something to think about. When you know what you have, then you make a bold confession of what you have. Did you ever think about that? When you know what you have, then you make a bold confession of what you have. That's why I always step back when I hear people talking, you know, I'm just this, and you know, society this. Is that what you believe? Must be, because you're making a bold confession about it. Don't get mad at me. It's the truth anyhow. And you know, like Brother Hagin said, say oh me if you can. Because what you believe you have, you make a bold confession of what you have. I'm a new person in Christ. I have the life of God in me. When your mind and your flesh is screaming, you'll never have this, you'll never get it, you'll never have it, everybody's against you, you can say, God, I believe it because you said it. God, I believe it, it's done. What is the scripture say in Galatians? God is not mocked. He mocked. Man can mock him. But God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I'm going to sow good words. I'm going to sow words of what I have. And I have his life in me. Let's look at Acts 3. What did Peter and John believe? Acts 3, look at the first few verses. You know the story. It says Peter and John went up together into the temple. What happened at the ninth hour is the hour of prayer. And there was a man crippled, right? They laid him daily at the gate, called Beautiful. But look what happened. And this person, what did he do? He fastened his eyes on Peter and John. He looked at him, and Peter fastened his eyes on him. What did he say? Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such is what I have. Woo! What do you have? I've got his life in me. What do you have? Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. I didn't say, I'm going to give you my 2 cents. No, he said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Such as I have, such as I have, what do you have? If you've been meditating on the world, that's what you got. You got your mind filled with worldly thoughts and attitudes, or as the world said, toods. And sometimes those toods come out the way you talk. What do we have? We have eternal life. We're brand new creatures. We're overcomers. I'm not subject to the world. I'm in a new kingdom. I've been delivered from darkness into his marvelous light. And if Jesus tarries before it's his return, because some of us are not going to live forever, the minute you leave this body, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because I've got resurrection life in me. Let's look at Ephesians. So we're strengthened in our inner man with this life. How? By his Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians in the King James. I want to look at a few translations of this. Ephesians 3:16. In the King James, just verse 16. It says that this is Paul praying this prayer in chapter 3. But verse 16, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. This word strengthened means to be empowered. Empowered with what? With might by his Spirit. Where? In my inner man. This word might is dunamis or dunamis, however you want to say it. It means his miraculous power. My good, how can you talk like you're defeated? How can you talk like the world? I've got his miracle-working power in me. Look at the New Living Translation, if you have it. Then we'll look at the Passion Translation. But the New Living Translation, it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Inner strength, inner strength. Strengthened. What are we? We are strengthened in him, in Christ. Hallelujah. The Passion Translation. And I pray that he would unveil within you. This is revelation knowledge. That he will unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until, oh, he's unveiling this and revealing it until, you see revelation here? Revelation causes a breakthrough. It does what causes a breakthrough in your faith, and your faith activates the power of God in you. What does it say here? He unveils within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his what? Divine might and explosive power. Amen. Oh, I don't know if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. We have within us, but you see, it's what I was saying before. There has to be an immersion into God's word that causes this unveiling of who we are. The more you meditate, the entrance, Psalm 119:130, the entrance of his word bringeth light, giveth revelation. an unfolding of his word, but it's the entrance of his words. It gives light, revelation, some of the translations say. Some say an unfolding or revealing of your word. So the more you meditate in the word of God, the more light comes. And the more light comes, the more faith comes. And the more faith comes, what happens? This explosive power is released in your inner man. And you will begin to know, not just in your head, you'll know who you are. And no one will talk you down. You'll know who you are. You'll say, well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. You'll begin to speak faith-filled words. You'll begin to command the things to change in your life. That's what we're talking about. When you begin to know who you are in Christ, when that becomes, I'm not saying you don't know, but as you meditate in the word, if anybody here thinks that we've searched the depths of who we are in Christ, you're fooling yourself. Because God will continue to unfold and reveal in greater depths who you really are. And no demon in hell can defeat you. No circumstance that you face in life can overcome you. Because of who you are. Listen to this. This is the Johnson translation. I think they may have had this up. Ephesians 3:16. It says, may he give you an infusion. Oh, I like this. An infusion of strength in the depths of your being by the Spirit. Oh my. An infusion of strength. Let's look at this. This is the Jordan translation. Ephesians 3:16. It says, this is Paul now. He's praying this prayer for the Ephesians. He says, I beg him, he's praying to the Lord here, I beg him to give you out of his glorious abundance, look at this, the power to win by his Spirit ruling your inner life. You have the power to win, and where is it? It's on the inside. 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is what? Born of God, overcomes the world. We've got overcoming life in us. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to look at the King James and then the Passion Translation. It says, now unto him that is able to what? To do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Boy, we can sure ask and think some big things. But he said, what? He's able to do exceedingly above. Abundantly above all that we ask or think, what? According to this glorious power, this dunamis power that's what? Working in us. Hallelujah. It's working in us. And will work in a greater measure as the light is exposed, as he unveils this, the glorious riches of his power, his word within us. Look at the Passion Translation. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. Some of us have those. And exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power. This is talking about his might, his dunamis power. His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Constantly. Constantly. We need to talk like this. I'm not defeated. We're overcomers in him. We're strengthened by him, by his miracle working power in us. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. You know this scripture? It says, I know how to be what? Abased. And I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How's he strengthening me? With his miraculous power. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song. Well, let's look at the Passion Translation of this. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. It says, I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Oh my God. Every difficulty, everyone, it says here that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me. Hallelujah, to conquer every difficulty. You've got eternal life, miracle working power at work in you. Hallelujah. So you are what? An overcomer. You know, there's a song we used to sing many years ago. Some of you may remember. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk, right? And the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. I love going back and looking at some of these old songs because we began to sing in such a way that we sang and made it personal. There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the blind to see, opens prison doors, the lame to walk. There's a river of life. And then it goes, spring up, O well, spring up, O well. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Hallelujah. Think about the story in John where Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. She began to talk about, oh, you don't have anything to get the water out. And what happened? Jesus said, yeah, but the water that I shall give, you shall never thirst again. And then what did he say? He said, the Passion Translation, in John 4:14, it says, but if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again, for when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with what? Endless life. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's why we have really no excuse for not knowing. You know, you may not understand something. You know, when I just thought of something. When I first came to the ministry, this is way back at the beginning, down in Peace Hall. You know, they had somebody running sound, and then all of a sudden they said, you're it. And I went, okay. I knew nothing about sound. And it's almost comical today, but when I say you know nothing, you know nothing. And I'm trying to, I mean, the people in the sound area will laugh at this example, but you know, when you have dynamics going on, when somebody's speaking, you're trying to control the dynamics so it doesn't distort. Well, you can't move a fader fast enough to catch the inflections and keep the levels hot enough. It'll distort. So what do? They have equipment that controls the dynamics. Well, I didn't know anything about it. But you got to listen to your spirit. Because I remember at that time, I'm like, Lord, I need help. And we didn't have phones, we didn't have internet, you had nothing. I'm talking about in the early 80s. We had no internet, no computers. The best you could do was look up in a phone book, the yellow pages. That was your route. Or go to a store and ask some questions. But that was it. And I remember hearing down here, inside, compressor. And I said, a compressor? What is a compressor? Oh. And I began to ask questions. And he began to show me, see and know, see and know. Now, he was having mercy upon me, because I didn't know. But the more you know about what to use, that's why it's important to get knowledge, because the more we know, then the more we have wisdom on how to apply what we know. Everybody understand that? So you can't walk around. You have no excuse for not knowing. And that's the problem. People are making bad choices because they don't exercise the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is going to come from knowing. And you'll know something and the Lord will say, don't do that. So knowing something, now, when you have knowledge, then you can then be used at a different level, a higher level, a more experienced level, because you have knowledge. And so the same way, the more knowledge we have, the more faith will come, and the more we can begin to do what? Release faith-filled words to change things, to change what we're confronting in life. But it's going to take knowledge where faith will come, and as we meditate upon the Word of God, faith-filled words will empower us and will speak words that change things. Galatians 2:20, let's look at this in the Passion Translation. My old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. This is why we have eternal life. He lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. He has dispensed his life into mine. So I'm a new creature. I'm brand new. Hallelujah. We share. We have fellowship or communion with him, or the word koinonia. We are one. And because we're one, I can see and I can know. Hallelujah. I see and I know. I'm a brand new person. When life is going backwards, you've got to get up and every day, I'm a brand new person in Christ. I walk in love. I walk even as he walked. I love those that are unlovely. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So your spirit has been changed. He overcame, so we're overcomers. Christ defeated the devil. Therefore, everything in the Word, the power to overcome him, is in the Word. And this eternal life is in us, and the power to overcome him is in us. Glory to God. I'm going to unhook because there's more to keep going, but I want to just stop there. I think that's enough. We are brand new. We're overcomers. I've got eternal life. If we just meditated on that, I've got his life. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. I've got supernatural, miracle-working life and power in me, enlightening me, strengthening my inner man, empowering me to overcome. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this few moments that we have to share these thoughts. We thank you, Father, for this overcoming ability, this eternal life that we have. And Father, we thank you that we have it because of the blood of Jesus and his shed blood. We have your eternal life. And we thank you for it. We guard our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for you living in us. It's no longer us that live, but it's you that live in us. We're in union. We're one with you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. So if you're here today, and just before we receive our offering, if you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, if you know that you've not received eternal life, you may have believed that Jesus is the Christ, but maybe you didn't confess with your mouth. But if you'd like to, or you want to, or you should, then this is your opportunity. And we're going to say a simple prayer that if you'll believe that Jesus is the Christ, that it was God in Christ reconciling the world, and that God raised him from the dead when sin was paid for, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. That's all we need to do. Believe what he said. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer of all mankind. And I believe that he shed his blood and he took our sins and our sicknesses and he went to hell in our behalf. And when sin and sickness was paid for, he was released from hell and raised from the dead. I now receive him as my Savior and Lord and healer, and I believe now that I am saved, washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you said that and you meant it in your heart, then you've become a brand new person in Christ. Instantly, your spirit was changed. You've received eternal life. And if that happened to you, then let us know here. Raise your hand. We'll give you some free information. We'll rejoice with you. And if you're watching online, there's some ways there that you can contact us, either by email or by mail or phone. And let us know that you've become a brand new person in Christ, that you receive Jesus as your Savior. And we'll rejoice and send you some free information as to who you've become in him, in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.